And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared here on Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona. From the BEAU default studios of Freedom's the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Oh, Donna, just got, we got Karen there. Karen Katowski's coming on. I got you there, Karen.
You do.
Oh, there you go, there you go, there you go, there you go, there you go. Okay. Her most recent article, Breaking Totalitarianism. Now let's talk about, we're going to talk about that and a bunch of stuff. Maybe you might get into that impeachment bullshit. Oh, did I say that out loud? No, the president did. I guess he said it. I can say it now. All right. Karen Katowski, retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, former Pentagon officer, professor, work. You know, that's a long bio. She freaking knows what the hell she's talking about, okay? I'll give you that. I want to get right into it. Karen, how would you introduce yourself to a new audience? You know, you say, yeah, I'm interesting because what?
I'm not that interesting. But no, I mean, I think I woke up. I'm interesting because I'm woke. I woke up.
Okay. How woke? You Joker woke? I mean, you know, what kind of woke are you talking about here?
I think about maybe 25 years ago, I started, because I was in the military, and I started to get smarter about our government, about the state, the nature of state, the nature of power, and what war is about, and I became woke. I understand kind of how it works, and it's not how we're all taught that it works.
It's not just a bill. I thought it was just a bill.
Yeah. and you know, there's a whole bunch of people who have gone through different things in their lives in this country who are also what the government says is often not true. I mean, you know, there's guys, it's not just, you know, you're in migration. You know, it's people in their 80s, 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s, 30s. I mean, it's not an age thing. It's an awareness thing.
You know, your phone's cutting out a little bit. Are
you on
a landline or a cell? Or?
I'm on a cell. I no longer have a landline.
Okay. All right.
So I'm on a cell.
I got you. Well, I just want to make sure we can hear every syllable that comes out of your mouth.
Sure. I'll stop walking around. That helps.
There you go. In the first paragraph of Breaking Totalitarianism, you make, you know, this has been going on for a long time, and you know, and here comes Hollywood as the influencer, and China bought Hollywood, so guess what's coming? Really pissed off South Park episodes. You know, there's always a pushback, you know, as America. So what happened in here, as Etienne de la Bataille explained over 500 years ago, the monopoly of state power rests on the willing compliance of whole populations, gained by virtue of a very human need for a unifying story and for each other's approval. Now, when you mentioned Etienne de la Bataille, now there's a gentleman that goes by that did Understanding Our Slavery, a book, you know, that he, you know, and it's certainly has, you know, channels at the end. So it's the fact that you mentioned that gave me an excuse to mention Understanding Our Slavery book by a gentleman that adopted that nom de plume. So, favor done. All right. Now, this is the article that you're writing here. We're talking about this Orwellian future of a boot stomping on a human face forever kind of thing. I know we keep bringing this up. I mean, this kind of stuff, it's a March 2. 2020 election cycle's coming up. They, them, those are not going to go quietly into that good night. Barr has, you know, started a criminal proceedings, or the heck that means. We got Comey and Brett. All right. This is your test, Karen. God, man. All right, I got to do it. Before I even go there, I got to get this. I had just had Gerald Celente on, and we were yakking about whatever, and I go, mate, I want to know if you know this. Well, you know, he didn't know it. We were talking about it. G. Edward Griffin, he didn't know it. I mentioned it, boom, they write about it. It goes out on their thing. I got from Zero Hedge, and here's the story. Comey and Brennan voted for the communist in their the 70s, 80s, or whatever, okay? So the headline is both Comey and Brennan are communist as head of the FBI and the CIA. And I'm like, you know, and they made it? You know, they, diversity, they're talking about it, you know, different speaking opportunities and so on. And I'm saying that it's a requirement, not a disqualification.
Wow.
Okay, so you didn't know this.
I did not. I mean, I think I had read that one of them had voted communist. I didn't know both of them.
This is
Brennan. Brennan, I had read. I'd read that Brennan had done it, and you know, it's that's interesting that it's a requirement. That you, I mean, because that really no. I mean, that switches the perspective. That's how we need to be, you know, understanding this thing. You know, you look at this country, and people say, oh, you know, we're free, but we're not in any way free. We are quickly becoming one of the most surveilled populations. You know, we have high tech, and every high tech that we carry with us is tied in to the government, to databases, to law enforcement. Our taxes are incredibly high. You know, we don't have what they call government health care, except for the VA, I guess you could say, is government health care. But we don't have, like, nationalized health care, but our tax rates that are paid, the amount of money that comes out of people's pockets and is fed into various parts of government is so high that if we did have government health care, we would then exceed the tax burden of the people in Europe. So, you know, the very people that we point our fingers to, oh, they're not free, we're free. My God, you know, we are in terrible shape. As a country, financially, we're in terrible shape. Liberty-wise, we're in pretty terrible shape.
Karen has an opinion about what kind of shape we're in with this pullout from Syria. Is it really a pullout? Is it just moving the troops over to the oil fields or something? Is it?
Sure.
We're not fighting anybody. We're just defending this oil that is ours now.
Not only we're not fighting anybody. The people that we are fighting are people that we, you know, created. Organizations that we supported, built up.
That can't be true. Iran said it, and so that means it's not true, right?
Yeah, right. I do think Trump, you know, he's already started months ago. He started his 2020 presidential campaign.
Hey, Karen, pull your mic away from your mouth. It's overmodulating.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, I can turn up the volume here.
Okay.
There you go.
Trump is thinking about his 2020 campaign. He's already started it, and he's looking back at what promises he made last time and what he did and what he hasn't done yet. And, of course, so he says, oh, there's some troops out there. I can say that I, you know, brought some troops home or whatever. And, you know, he doesn't realize that he's not in control of the American empire. He thinks he is, but it's run by a whole different cadre of people who make the rules, who profit, and who get rid of people that are in the way, and Trump is in the way. So they didn't do exactly what he envisioned that they would do.
I'm wondering who is... If I knew who the bad guys were, I'd be against them, you know? So I just...
Well, the bad guys, I'll tell you where they are. I don't know who they are necessarily, but they're in the interior side of the Beltway in D.C.,
Yeah, when Trump gets booed
that's
out of a World Series game, you know,
that's
he got,
right.
I'm going, that kind of surprises me. And then Frank goes, it was in Washington, D.C. I go, oh, Now that explains it.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yep.
Well, within the horse ride from the Capitol, Karen Kotowski. We'll be right back.
From the third letter of Captain Mark. The Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today, the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing frequencies completely invisible to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels, or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Yeah, your phone is really bad this time.
Hey, can you hear me now? I plugged it into my computer. How's that?
Yeah, it sounds like a bathroom a little bit, but at least it's clear. So that's, you know, we'll stay with
that. Okay, sorry. Yeah.
Well, we need to start doing Zoom or something, but, you know, this...
Yeah, I can do Zoom.
All right.
You'll hook me up on Zoom if
Donna,
you have it.
Donna, send Karen the Zoom link. She says you have it. Donna says you're a lion sack of snot. You had it all the time.
I did have it all the time. Yeah, I forgot that. Well, you called me, and I just...
Okay.
Hold on. Let me find my Zoom. Let me find my...
This is a story from Zero Hedge. Paul Sperry noted Wednesday that FBI... Director James Comey admitted in a 03 interview of having voted communist before casting his ballot for Jimmy Carter. I'd moved from communist to whatever I am now, Comey told New York Magazine in 03. So, one, he's a communist. Former CIA Director John Brennan, meanwhile, admitted in 16 to voting communist in the 70s. Okay, this is how he did it. This is where. You got to listen to this part. When asked at the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation's annual conference whether past activism would create a barrier for diverse candidates who want to enter the intelligence community, Brennan said that he was forced to admit to voting for communist Gus Hall for president in 76, according to CNN. So Comey and Brennan not only are disqualified for having communist being, or have you been, are you or have you ever been, you know, a communist or vote, what? It's a requirement. This is my point, that these are the guys that they select for head of the FBI and the CIA. Are you freaking kidding me? And nobody's talking about this.
That is crazy. Wow.
I mean, I didn't make it up.
Yep.
It's out of their mouth, you know?
Yep,
so I'm going... Wow, and nobody brings this up. I mean, you can find stories on it. You look it up, and it's all over. But, you know, this isn't like I'd be pounding the table rhetoric on. This is memes, man. This is thick. Anyway, all right, we're back. Here we go.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, I did it better that way. All right, Karen Kotowski. All right, this is just another rebel yelling out there and had been for a long time, way before a bunch of other people were. When she was still a lieutenant colonel in the Pentagon, she's going, hey, this Office of Special Plans thing and these guys and they're doing and they're creating, you know, like memos inside the Pentagon, and started writing on a website Colonel Hackworth had called, what was that site, Military something, what was it?
Soldiers for the Truth is what he called it.
Soldiers for the Truth.
Yep.
And that was, you know, here, well, they were looking, who's that, that leaking, who, and they're full of their hubris and masculinity, what's the word you call it, what's the word they keep doing, misogynist. They're misogynist.
Yeah, misogynist, yep.
It was a woman sitting right there, Lieutenant Colonel.
A woman sitting right there, Lieutenant Colonel, giving him what for? And I'm going, oh, that was bad for them. And then they let her retire, and she's not in a cell next to Snowden or Manny or anybody. How's that happen, Karen? How'd you escape?
Well, you know, they control the narrative. They being the government, the state, the neoconservatives, the deep state, whatever. You know, I mean, they own Hollywood. They own the mainstream media. The mainstream media in this country is more aligned with the state than Pravda was and TASS was back in the days of the old Soviet Union. They are completely aligned with they are tools of the state. And then you have we had in the past 30, 25 years, you know, we've had this explosion of internet and apps and data and connectivity. And if you look at the big companies, the Googles, the Amazons, the Microsofts, they are also wholly devoted to, financially dependent upon the U.S. government and the, you know, U.S. government allies. I mean, these are global companies. So it's not like, you know, they don't have the ability to shape and control and even create new narratives. I mean, this is what the state does. And this is why, you know, DeBellatelli is so, you know, important, even though he's 500 years ago and he was a young man when he wrote, you know, his major work. I mean, the man died before he hit 30. So, but we read him today because he understands how we are captured, how state empires, if you want to call them, because certainly the U.S. is an empire, how they maintain control of the population. They control the narrative, and they do it through a lot of different ways. So I am not in a prison cell because I was inconsequential, okay? And I didn't have information that they particularly needed. Now, you know, we have the Assange story.
What do you mean you're inconsequential? Why would you say that?
I didn't change because my reporting was boutique information. It did not become the mainstream narrative until you know, after it was too late, about 2005, 2006. Then people say, oh, yeah, what Karen was saying.
I thought you filled in a bunch of gaps, you know, early on.
Well, I did for people, yes, but I did for people, not the majority of the population.
No.
96% of the population were not swayed, you know. Let's say 1% when I started speaking out, and then another 3 or 4% became aware and woke. That's great. That's 96% of the people who still aren't woke, who still buy the government story. And also, you and I and the people that listen here, you know, we're actually thinking about things, we're looking at connections. But I will tell you this. Even people in this country who have begun to question things, they are not fully, they have one foot, you know, one shoe is dropped. But if something big happens, a false flag, some sort of crisis, I don't know, collapse of the currency, something that causes great fear, anxiety, they will look to the state for the story. Even though in the past they didn't believe the state story, under the right stress conditions, they will again believe the state story.
I'm with you, sister.
They don't need to put me in jail. They don't need to put you in jail. You know, now, once we get to the percentage, and it's not, we're not too far away from it, you know, 15-16% of the people that are solidly not swayable by the deep state storyline or the government storyline or the empire storyline, we get 16-17%, you know, just under 20%, then we're going to be a problem, okay? Then we are going to be a problem.
I ain't got a problem, because this is anybody that's willing to stand out there and say, I wear my MAGA hat, and, you know, and these colors don't run, and all this other nationalistic whatever they do. And I'm going...
Yeah, but they do run, though. Those people will run. They are not... They don't... If they're out there wearing a MAGA hat because they believe Trump is going to use the political system to make things better, then they're not part of the change, because the political system is the problem.
They need the MAGA Trump people to be able to justify the process. And I'm right. And that's why that's right. I'm just like, hey, you're still voting. As much as I grin, you know, with what Trump's doing and a lot of the things that are coming out, and it's just an example of Neon, I told you so. I'm fine with that. It's entertainment. But when it comes down to getting your 16%, because revolutions are begun, you know, fought, won, succeed, not all begin at like, you know, 5 to 20%. You know, it's always that tireless minority thing. And when you got the paid for woke guys, you know, on the left, their depth is pretty shallow of who's got my next, you know, weed fix, you know.
That's right. They, so they don't have the philosophy. They don't have a guiding philosophy that will. Their guiding philosophy is pro state. So they are part
or somebody pro money. They pay them. You know,
well, that's true too.
No, I mean, all right. I tell you, this is no better example. Trump comes early on the campaign. He's out Fountain Hills, which is east of Scottsdale over the mountain. There's one road that goes over the mountain from Scottsdale in the valley here to get to Fountain Hills. So it's a good choke point. You know, it's a good way to check all cars coming, you know, that kind of thing. So our Sheriff Arpaio just let them do their thing until they actually did something to get arrested because they wanted to get arrested. So he arrested some, and then hilarity ensued. So I'm going, all right, this whole thing we saw building up to it because they had Craigslist ads. They were paying people. And if you were white male, you got paid more. Okay?
Oh, really?
Because they didn't want a bunch of minorities at the front of the line. They needed some white boys up there.
Sure, yeah. Okay.
No, this was a paid. It wasn't even a secret. They're like, yeah? And? It's all about the optics, dummy. So I don't think I know. I see her watch it happen. You know, this is amazing. And the Trump report that we do, Frank got in a Fox picture behind the president holding up a Trump coloring book that we'd all been doing. I got it on TV. Woo-hoo! You know, so we've been following this from the beginning. It is all going to come out in this election cycle, and it's either going to be countered with you got bad breath or too small a hands or whatever from Trump and from them, and you're a misogynist, whatever, or we're actually going to get some arrest. What do you think's going to happen? Karen Kotowski is going to tell us about it when we come back in just a little bit. That is not a secret. I'm just like, this is like the Brennan Comey thing, you know? All right, so let me do a search in here. Where am I going here? My pre-search thing. All right. Arizona Fountain Hills. Arizona Fountain Hills Trump protest Craigslist. What do you call them? Protesters paid. It's all about the question. All right. Let's see. Trump protester speaks out. I was paid $35. Okay. What's the title? Donald Trump protester speaks out. I was paid $3,500 to protest Trump's rally. God. Fountain Hills. For weeks, rumors have been circulating that individuals were being paid to protest. Last week at Fountain Hills, Arizona came forward to say that they paid for the event. Okay. Let's see. All right. Let's see if there's the article. ABC News. ABC breaking news. Donald Trump protester speaks out. I was paid $3,500. Arizona Hills, Fountain Hills, Arizona. For weeks, rumors have circulated the web that individuals are being paid to protest at rallies held by presidential hopeful Donald Trump today. And this is before the election. Rally was last week in Fountain Hills, Arizona. Came forward to say that he was paid to protest event. I was given $3,500 to protest Donald Trump's rally in Fountain Hills, said 37-year-old. We lost her, Donna. And we'll go ahead and if we can do. Yeah, they definitely cut the feed then. Yeah, you're talking about Fountain Hills getting paid and they turned off your phone. Yeah.
Are we on Zoom?
Okay, there. I got you.
Okay, you can hear me?
Yeah.
Is it better? Because this is Zoom.
It's tinny, bathroom kind of thing, but it's okay.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
it's all about the microphone. What kind of microphone are you using?
It's a headset.
Well, I mean, you know.
It's not very good. It's not a fancy one. It's a cheap one, so that's why.
We know. All right.
Sorry.
Okay, so listen to this. This is the deal. Fountain Hills ABC News reported, I was given $3,500 to protest Donald Trump's rally in Fountain Hills, said 37-year-old Paul Horner. I answered a Craigslist ad a little over a week ago about a group needing actors for a political event. I interviewed with them and got the part. And it went on. The point was is that they were it was not equality of race. You know what I mean? It was you get paid more if you a white boy. Okay. So that's because they didn't want a bunch of, you know, union minorities sitting at the front of the line. We hate Trump thing. They needed. So they were willing to pay for the optics, whatever they needed.
Wow.
This is and we're surprised why. So this is well known. You don't think this is going to stop? You know, this is, you know, they're up against a wall. I don't know what the hell's going on. Are you familiar with the criminal proceedings that Barr's doing? What the details of that are?
I think I've just read what's in the news about.
Okay,
it.
Yeah. Well, you tell me because you know more than me now. All right.
Oh yeah.
There we go.
And now live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Got a Zoom connection with Karen. That hopefully work out better. All right, this is what we're going to do. This is a story. When was this break? This is April 16, and so this is, you know, going into it's at the peak of the election, and Trump's drawing tens of thousands of people and crowds and so on, and a bunch of people. One artery comes out of the valley, going into Fountain Hills, east of Scottsdale, up in the kind of over the mountain there, going up to Payson. There is this big community out there of, you know, acre homes, and they're $3 million. I mean, you know, it's just, a nice retirement. Well, it's not even retirement. It's just out in the desert there. It's been there since, God, early 70s or 60s. So the protesters, if you could clog or block that artery, that three-laner going into there, it's at least two lanes, and the smallest part, it is like a highway going into this place from the valley. Well, that's a perfect place where the helicopters get the optics of, look at all the people backed up and blah, 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 which is exactly what happened. It would have been, those optics had been worth anything. So if you were, anyone, hey, man, I'll go, and you're a young black man, you're getting like $500 maybe, you know. But if you're a white boy, $3,500. And this is people, you know, equality of that, man, but we need some white faces up on the front line here. And who's going to get it? If you get arrested, you get more. I mean, it was a thing, not a secret. It was, but it wasn't widely reported other than acknowledged. And I'm going, because you can see, I mean, there was a Craigslist ad. I mean, so yeah. This is going to keep happening. And it, you know, it turned into Antifa and it, all these different protests in Charlotte, and the buses got the right, the Proud Boys and the, or whoever the hell was there. You got these guys on this side and that on that side riding the same city bus or something. I mean, it was just amazing to see what's happening. So the indictments and the impeachment, you know, versus the indictments. What do you know that's going on back there? And because you're close to Washington more than me.
Well, the only thing I saw is that Barr is getting closer to issuing, I guess, some charges or whatnot. And particularly Brennan is involved. And so we mentioned Brennan before as the former communist, current communist. But Brennan, you know, CIA under Obama, you know, these guys, and Obama's part of this too. I mean, Obama was president, you know, he's authorizing these, you know, basically intelligence operations on American citizens, particularly American politicians. So we go, oh my gosh, that's terrible. But yeah, I mean, that's what presidents do. And Obama did it. And looks like there's enough tidbits out there that they'll be able to publicize what happened and connect it to actual people like Brennan. So, you know, and Brennan is one of the particularly evil ones in our current time. I mean, I'm not saying we haven't had, you know, evil politicians and evil appointees and evil CIA directors, because certainly we have. But Brennan is one of the really bad ones. So it looks like his name is going to be in the news. He's not happy. You know, I think it's interesting, too, that Comey is talking about moving to New Zealand.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, Kim.com did. Look what it did for him.
Yeah. But I mean, but why is Comey talking about this now? It's not because he's worried Trump will or won't be elected. He's talking about it because, you know, he's a flight risk. This is great.
Okay. Now, the one thing that I start to see is you can see sooner or later, they're going to start jumping ship. And the first rat, I think, is Clapper. Clapper is up there going, hey, man, I don't know why anybody should be, prosecuted and admonished for just following orders from the commander-in-chief. I was just following Obama made me do it, okay?
Yep. Yeah, Clapper's a good one. You'll see him early on, I'm sure. I think that's a good assessment of Clapper. You take a guy like Clapper, who was
what was his position? National Security Advisor? What does that even mean?
He was Air Force. He was at the Air Force at one time. I don't know what his current position under Obama. I think he was, National Security there. But Clapper, you have to think of him at psychology. Look at his psychology. Okay, here's a fighter pilot in a fighter pilot's Air Force. He rises to the top. I mean, really much, he rises like scum rises pretty rapidly. And he does whatever he wants. He says whatever he wants. He had a reputation when I was in the military of being a real go-getter, but somebody who spoke his mind. And he never got in trouble for it, really. Or if he did, it was always like wink, wink, nod, nod trouble.
He was in the right crowd, man. He was there to perpetuate something. What is it?
What I'm saying is he's always been in the right crowd. And once he gets outside of that comfort zone of the right crowd, the power crowd, the in crowd, yeah, he'll fold like a, what do they call it? He'll fold like a $2 bill, whatever it is they say.
A wet napkin.
Sure. He's definitely a good one who will, be a rat. But they're all rats. I mean, if you got to realize they're all rats. And most of them have little rat nests outside of the United States that they can go to. Like the big place the Bushes have down in Paraguay. They have these places that they can go to escape extradition. And so some of them will talk and some of them will go somewhere where they
They're getting all their cabins retiled and carpeted and the pool freshen up because it's time. Okay.
You got it. That's exactly right.
Well, what do you think? Give me the scuttlebutt. Very piratey. You have the group that represents the Clinton Foundation, Deep State, the bank. I don't know what the hell it is. Is it a thing or is it more a consortium of whatever? But then there's the not them. And I don't know who that is. I mean, Trump? I is there anybody else? I mean, who's versing who here?
Well, okay. I think we have to look at what it is that makes people rich in this country, makes politicians rich. And there's two things. It's corrupt deals with foreign governments, like in Ukraine and elsewhere, and like in Haiti, right? I mean, they collected all this money for Haiti, but where did it go? It didn't go to Haiti. It went to the Clinton Foundation, and they distributed it to people that they thought wanted it and needed it, deserved it, not Haitians, white Americans,
Got it.
But if you look at the other business that we do, how politicians get rich, it's through the military-industrial complex, the military-industrial homeland security surveillance complex. And we have now just incorporated three of the four fangs in that because it's surveillance. Okay. You've got all the CIA with the normal budget, which is outrageous, plus the black budget, which some people say is at least equal to and probably exceeds the normal budget. Okay. That's the CIA. And what are they doing? They're hiring companies. They're hiring corporations. They're hiring startups. They're connected to people like Brennan, like Rumsfeld, all of these folks that we thought they went away and died somewhere, but they didn't. They didn't go away and die somewhere. They are actively involved. Eric Prince, he hasn't gone away. He's had how many transformations has his various...
Right. Black... All right, Prince, tell the people who Prince is and how many company names he's changed or whatever doing.
Well, Prince is famous. If you're my age, you've probably heard of Blackwater, and of course Prince started that. He was a former Special Forces, and then he just basically contracted out, hired his buddies at $250,000 a year to do the same thing that, kind of the same thing our soldiers were doing for like $18,000 a year over there. But he's getting the $250,000, and they don't have any rules, which is always nice. Yeah. So did a lot of stuff. So anyway, Blackwater changed to Z, and then Z changed to. There's a bunch of other ones. But anyway,
he's selling his services, to China. He goes, man, you need
special. Oh, you got it. You got to see this picture. He is on the board of a company. I'll have to get it to you and I'll send it to you at the next break. There's a picture of the board. It's all Chinese intelligence guys and then Eric Prince in the middle of it. He is no friend to America. He is no patriot. He thinks he's a patriot, but he is no patriot. And these are the guys that benefit from the military-industrial surveillance homeland security complex. That money must flow. That money must flow. And they will do whatever they have to do to make it flow. And I think the little exercise in Trump says, I'm going to take some troops out of Syria. Really? Really, Trump? I don't think so. And that's what they said. Really, Trump? I don't think so. We've got oil security, we've got Kurd security. You know,
oh, Syria and Kurds. We haven't talked about that yet. All right, here, when we come back, I'm just showing the audience a picture. Blackwater's founder is under investigation for money laundering, ties to China intelligence, and he keeps making money and selling hitmen for the government. Yeah, just watch Fast and Furious. That's what he's doing. But is he a good guy? I don't know.
Are you feeling confused about the current economic reports that dominate the headlines? Not sure if this is a good time to buy or sell your home, or feel like the process can be overwhelming and confusing? This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home buying or selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what to expect before, during, and after the process. A home is a place where the most important moments in your life happen, so making sure that you know exactly what to expect along the way helps to ensure that you have control. The future is here, so let me help you move forward with your real estate needs. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way. Now more than ever, you need an agent that can help you make sense of what many think is a complicated and mysterious process. Feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819. Or visit my webpage today at donnahancock.com.
Okay, I'm on. I'm looking up.
Hey, I got it. I sent you a link to Donna. It's called Frontier Services Group. That's one of his latest ventures. And there's a great picture at Frontier Services Group website that has all the Chinese guys plus Eric Prince as the board of directors. And it just looks like a bunch of Chinese mafiosos. So it's fantastic. I mean, it's great. But this is what he's doing, and this is global, and this requires money from the United States, borrowed money, tax money, continued wars, operations, insecurity, connections to Washington, D.C., so they can control where the money goes. This is what this is about. It's FSG, if it's fsgroup.com.
No, I'm looking at it. I'm on it.
Anyway, great picture. You should have it up there.
Okay, so it's a picture. All right, Donna, she sent you a picture to put up as soon as we can get it in.
A link. It's a link, and it's the board of directors. The second face is...
Okay, what am I looking at? About Us or something?
Yeah, About Us, yeah. Okay. I think it's About Us. It's a board of directors, the team. And it has a little bio of Eric Prince. They call him a philanthropist, which I think is pretty interesting.
Of course. All right, here we come back.
10.fm. Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
We don't need no stinking roads. All roads lead to Goldman Sachs and Bechtel and Halliburton and whatever. You know, this is certainly their money. Now, she found this. You look up on Frontier Services Group, okay? Security, logistics. It's Eric Prince. You know, mm-hmm. Prince, right? So
yeah.
I'm going, you know, he's protective services, specialized training. I'm afraid to click that. You know, this is, they're Fast and Furious. You know, it's a triple X. Yeah. It's, you know, when the CIA can't do it and they're limited by and they just pay you,
that's
you know?
Right.
So I'm going, okay, here we go. And, they got a woman's hand. And they're a nail polish, or he's gay. I don't, you know, whatever. But the it has, you know, I'm wondering, they got their own little Red Sparrow thing going on, huh? You think they wouldn't do that? That'd be wrong.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, I mean this is the nature of empires. You have hired folks who do the business of the empire for a huge profit, and this is what they do. I mean, it's a self-perpetuating thing. As long as the population identifies with the empire, as long as you've got MAGA hats and I love America, you know, America, I'm a patriot, and my country, you're right or wrong, you know. This is part of the storyline, and it's very comforting. We all want to be part of something. But in fact, you could say that well, you have already been saying this for years and years, the republic has been hijacked. You know, it doesn't, it's not a, we don't have a republic. We don't have anything like that. How many, you know, does your representative follow the Constitution when he makes his vote, his or her votes in the House of Representatives? Does
your our House of Representatives, you know, and legislators threaten other legislators' lives here for researching child trafficking from Child Protective Services.
There you go.
Farnsworth, I know him. You know, Donna's working on it. I know him. And he's like, he goes, look, I felt so threatened. I had to call the sheriff's department, police, and say, look, I was threatened by this legislator right there, fellow Republican right there. If I kept doing the investigation on child sex trafficking using the Child Protective Services, over 500 kids they lost. Wow. And we're going, what the heck? It was like, oh, you don't want to open this can of you'll kind of explain to you if you'll get some. And he's like, you know, nope, I'm coming out. Because, man, whoa. Because two other legislators in other states have been murdered over this.
Yes, I know. I read about that. Yep. This is, see, this is serious business. Well, and also Epstein himself, with the network knowledge that he had, totally got himself killed. So,
Himself killed. He was totally killed.
Totally killed. Yeah. Well, I mean, some people think he's not dead, but whatever. He's not talking, and that's what they needed. And hardly any news. I mean, it's just like this is bigger than what even crazy people think. You know, even crazy people who you know have whole stories in their heads, and you go, oh my God! But it's bigger than even they can imagine. And the thing is, the money, it's, you know, the money that the empire throws around, it really, you know, when everybody's in debt, and I think they say most people, the average American, is living paycheck to paycheck for the most part. A lot of them have debt that they really need to keep their jobs. You can't afford to lose one job in your family because you can't pay your bills if you don't. And this is exactly where, we are modern day, serfs. You know, we are tied to our jobs and we're tied to our homes that we owe money on. And, you know, we really can't take risks. We really can't, you know, there's a lot of small compromises that everybody makes, and little by little they add up. So, you know, you talk about revolution. Empires are not going to get a revolution. Nobody wants to have this empire. It needs to break up into 1,000 different pieces, and it will be not so much revolution on a massive scale, but people walking away. It'll be a massive walking away movement. And we're already seeing it to some extent. I mean, the number of people permanently turning in their passports increases year over year in a really great percentage, not a large number, but a great percentage. So much so that the government, the State Department, now fines you for turning in your thing. I mean, there's huge costs now if you don't want to be an American citizen anymore. They're concerned about it. They want to keep us here, tied down, compromised, so that we basically keep our heads down and hoe the weeds and dig those potatoes and deliver up the bounty to the empire. This is what we're doing. I mean, this is life in America today, and it looks really pretty on the outside, but a lot of the frustration that you see on the left, the Antifa, the right, the MAGA people, this frustration is actually coming from not political frustration, but I think economic frustration.
Yeah, it's always good. And that's, of course, Gerald Celente focuses on that when we have him on. And they're going to this and this and this and this. You know, when, you know, people have nothing to lose, they lose it, you know, and they do everything, whatever. So the point, one thing that he brought up is the Gray Zone editor, Max Blumenthal, that was reporting on U.S. involvement in Venezuela. And then they do the SWAT team. We go, who's doing that? Is that a Trump administration thing? Is that, you know, who's in charge? Who's the one? I mean, how high up, you know, do you don't have to go to get a SWAT team storming your house? You see my point?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we have lots of them, and they need work to do. I mean, you've got SWAT teams in every small town in America. You've got an FBI that's massive. You've got a CIA that's massive, and the FBI and CIA have blurred lines. You've got an FBI that does foreign operations, of course, and then you have the CIA that does domestic operations. So they have a kind of an overlapping and shared mission. So if you want to get something done, There's ways around the law.
Yeah, Brennan and Comey. And Clapper. Yeah,
thank
Brennan
you.
Comey, Clapper. I'm like, wow. This is, yep. Is there reforming, you know, the CIA and military? I mean, is no, it just start no. over?
No, you don't even start over. You kill it.
Kill it, done.
Yeah, you kill it, you're done. Now, an empire must have a CIA. An empire must have an active FBI element, domestic and overseas, in order to maintain itself. And so they both have to go, but that means the empire has to go. And it normally empires, they collapse, and this one will too. It's on the downward trend, of course. And I think it's funny too, and we talked about this, I think, last time. Used to be when the American president said something, whether it was Obama or anybody else, even Trump early on, people go, oh, yeah, okay, that has credibility. Now he goes, well, the intel community told me something. Everybody goes, well, that's not true.
Right, you know, right. Can't both ways.
Look at Al Baghdadi. They kill him or whatever for the eighth time. Who knows what's going on? They identify him with the DNA, and all of a sudden people are going, well, how did they do that? And so
right.
You have to have articles now. Oh, here's how we did it. We got his underwear from one of our spies inside. One of our spies inside. Wait a minute. It's our ISIS. Of course we have spies inside. Half of them are our guys. That's how we get his underwear. But, you know, the thing is, they go, oh, we better call the people who watch too much CSI. So they have a story as to how we got his DNA done in the field.
Oh. They also, didn't they burn and bury at sea or something again? Didn't they do that?
I love it. Buried at sea in the traditional Muslim manner.
Which is not a Muslim thing, right?
Yeah, no, not that I know of. Not that any Muslim knows of. But, you know, it's all, you know, basically we got rid of the body. I mean, they're huge mafioso, you know.
Well, you know, heck, Baghdadi, you know, the Russians are going to get him. He's like, you got to bring me in, man. You know, like, dead if possible. I mean, kind of dead, you know. Give me a picture or at least a bloodstained, you know, like, you know, some. There is a guy that really needs a tampon. Anyway, so, which is what Trump was trying to do. He's crying like a little girl, you know.
I know. And, you know, the thing is, but this disbelief in whatever comes out of Washington, D.C., this assumption, this presumptive assumption that everything they're saying is a lie, the whole rest of the world has already bought into that. And many Americans have as well. This is a sign the empire is failing, it's collapsing.
Oh, my God. You mean it's general public opinion?
There you go. And they really can't control it even with
Hollywood.
Because Hollywood has to make money. And what if you look at the movies that are coming out, I mean, think about White House Down. That movie and the other one that was made that was just like
London something.
Yeah, well, London Has Fallen, White House Down, and there was also another one that was similar. But this concept that the White House itself can burn, that Washington D.C. can be destroyed, we would never see that years and years ago, unless it was aliens, you know. But now we can see it as a storyline that makes sense to people.
Yeah. No, this is all. I don't know how they're going to resurrect any confidence in anything. And I hope that Trump doesn't confuse opposition to the they, them, those that are going after him as really support of him, you know, because if he confuses support of him, he's going to get a rude awakening when he wants to do for whatever stupid reasons he's going to have some battle or something.
No, I think Trump will. We're off air, right? I mean,
we're still going.
Well, I think Trump needs to be extremely careful about what he eats and drinks, because the easiest solution to a lot of these investigations is to put Pence in charge, and it's not through impeachment, because Trump won't shut up. They impeach Trump, they don't shut him up. You can't shut him up. So they need somebody to
shut up.
What they want to do is they're going to say, well, he's been under tons and tons of stress, and his doctors have told him he shouldn't do this or that. He went ahead and disobeyed him because he was Trump, and then there'll be a great state funeral. And then Pence, of course, is in bed with all these same people, Prince and all that. So, you know, things will continue on. But they really won't continue on because nobody believes Washington, D.C. anymore.
Okay. Now, give me the we're still recording and streaming and everything
right. I mean,
else. But
I want Trump to be safe, but I'm just telling you, I think that he's got a big target on his back, and I mean a physical.
Yeah, target. No, I understand, but I'm like, Pence. Why did they select him, both sides? I mean, if he's
Pence brought in, Pence sealed the deal on the evangelical vote. he sealed the deal on the Israel stuff, because just having a converted daughter is not enough. Just having a Jewish son-in-law is not enough. They couldn't trust Trump. They knew Trump very well, they being the Israeli government, and they didn't trust him. So Pence was part of the evangelical, part of ensuring that Israel would stay dominant in as an influence. Because seriously, you know, Trump doesn't do everything that he's told. they can't really.
Well, he's doing this whatever the hell is going on in Israel. This is one thing that Trump is different. Oh, mm-hmm. You're losing face and you're going, oh, and everybody hate you and you're a wimp and you got small hands if you don't bomb and invade the living crap out of this, and this and support mm-hmm. this and do whatever. Yeah. Well, he's kind of like, he's not, you know, but we're going to do a deal with Syria. We're going to do a deal with Iran. We're going to do a deal with North Korea, Russia, China.
And also Trump is not the kind of sociopath that most politicians are. He's a business person. He's not a murderer. Most politicians.
Well, no. This is my point. I want you to get to comment on, because I got to get to my next guest. But the big thing is I go, he comes in. Yeah, I love me some Israel and Israel. I kiss some Israel butt and all the kind of. He's staying, you know, personally. You know, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but personally, he's staying out of the Hong Kong China thing. Hey, we're just going to go protect our oil that's ours now, you know, in Syria and pull out and peace out.
Yeah.
Then if Israel wants to, you know, take over Palestine and do settlements, hey, man, not my problem, you know.
Right.
So he's really taking a hands-off thing. So they want to do, name Trumpville, you know, on the Golan Heights. Yeah. So I'm just like, what the hell?
They want to try to feed his ego, but they don't realize that that Trump looks at things, and this is, I think, everybody who knows him knows this. He looks at things from a cost-benefit, okay? He weighs the cost, he weighs the benefit. Some is financial, some is non-tangible. But he looks at the relationship with Israel as a cost-benefit, and anybody who objectively looks at that relationship realizes that it's way more costly than it is beneficial. So I think that's all that Trump does. I think he loves Israel. I think he respects it. But he looks at the relationship as a costly relationship that's not necessary, particularly because Israel is so wealthy and, you know, relatively, I mean, in the region, it's exceptionally wealthy. The per capita income in Israel is you know, 10 times what it is in the
region. Well, hell, the support from the United States of America in voluntary and involuntary aid is not to be discounted.
No, billions and billions of dollars annually in ad infinitum into the future. I mean, you cannot stop that aid to Israel. People have tried. So Trump says, look, you know, we've kind of invested enough, and then you guys can have to handle it from here. And I think that's just Trump. I don't think that's ideological. I don't think it's I think he's pro-Israel. I think he's pro. He has great respect for, Israel's people, the Jewish religion, of course, and even Zionism. I think he respects that a great deal, but he looks at it as a business relationship, and he's like, yeah, well, we've kind of invested enough. I think you guys can handle it from here. We're going to put our money where we need to. And also, I think he wants to be reelected. And what are the supporters of Trump going to look for? They're going to say, how much did you do that you said? Well, he didn't build the wall. Oh, now we can blame that on the Democrats, but he didn't build the wall. So that's going to be a big negative. What he has to be able to say, but I did cut your taxes. I did pull the troops home. I did end the wars that the Democrats and the idiot brain Bush family started in, the deep state started in the Middle East. I have kept prices low, or whatever he's going to say. He'll go through the list of what he can say. And this is why he wants to move those troops out of there. Of course, the deep state opposes him. I mean, they're not going to let him do
anything. Okay, okay. I got, before I let you go, I got something. I got a little news here. Little news. Ready for the news? Here we go.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Last April, I had Bumper Hornberger on. We were yakking about whatever. And he's talking about all the, you know, libertarian conventions he'd be into and this and that. And I'm going, on the air, I go, hey, sounds to me like you're running for president. Man, don't BS me, man. Well, FEC rules and you're not allowed something. He has a book coming out. He's going to drop this weekend, I think. And he's going to one of the Carolinas Libertarian Party convention to speak at something. All right. Uh-huh. So I am of the opinion that I think by the end of the weekend, we're going to know if Jacob Hornberger from futureoffreedomfoundation.org is going to be running for the Libertarian presidential nomination.
Oh,
if
cool.
that happens, What say Karen?
Uh-huh. Oh, well, I'm a friend of his, so I always vote for my friends. You know, if that's the case. Now, I don't participate in any libertarian stuff anymore. I haven't gone to a convention in years and years. There's not much of a party out here in, you know, in Virginia. We had a good guy, and he moved to Colorado. So there's not much to do with the Libertarian Party as a party.
You show up as a $25 paid member of, you can be sat as a delegate anywhere there's an opening.
Yeah,
I
that's
guarantee.
True. Well, I'm looking for that because, yeah, I'm a huge admirer of him.
I think it's Austin, Texas, and he's from Texas.
Austin, Texas.
So now think about it. This is what was going on right when I was interviewing him was mm-hmm. the Justin Amash thing. They're doing Justin Amash, and we got to get Justin Amash, and the Coctopus is going to be pushing for Justin Amash as the reasonable libertarian Republican is going to tell us how to do it.
Oh, I see. Okay? I see. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then I'm going, you know, that needs a real libertarian. And then the bumper thing is a possibility. So I go, oh, that's going to be good.
Yeah, it'll be something to watch, and maybe we'll get some real discussion of things. But let me tell you, the Libertarian Party has lost me as a party.
Yeah, no, screw them. I don't care about that.
You know, the people Weld, some of these people that they have been these dried up Republicans.
Did you see that Soho debate between Dave Smith and Nick Sarwark?
No. Oh, okay. Sarwark. I can't stand Sarwark.
Okay. Okay. Well, he left Arizona. He now lives in New Hampshire. Okay. He's going to be doing, I guarantee he gets involved in POTUS 2020 stuff of representing whatever. So this is, Dave Smith is a comedian, online personality or whatever, is mm-hmm. debating Nick Sarwark at a Soho debate. It was perfect. It was the, you know, we got to be a big party kind of thing versus we need principle behavior or whatever. You dig it. I'll get Donna to send it to you. I got to get to my next hour.
Gotcha.
I'm already
okay,
getting
good.
Late.
Okay.
Thanks, Karen. Bye.
Okay, yep. Okay. Bye-bye.